Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Theme for our sermon this morning is Called to Save You, based on Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 13 to 15, and 17. If you want to follow in your Bible, we'll read that text. Again, Romans chapter 10, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. A church, by the way, he did not found and had not been to. Beginning at verse 9, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes in his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, imagine the words of this text coming from a man who had, at an earlier time, totally rejected the teachings of Jesus Christ and his disciples. He had been a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. He was present when the young missionary, Stephen, was stoned to death, actually consenting to his murder. This man, Saul by name, led the persecution against the movement called The Way, which was the beginning of the Christian church. His intent was to destroy those who worshiped the risen Christ, believing in his name, being baptized, and living for him. So voicing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord Jesus, he set out on a journey to Damascus, where he intended to search the synagogues for members of the way, arrest them, and bring them back to Jerusalem as criminal captives. And as he traveled, suddenly he was immersed in a bright light. He fell to the ground and he was astonished. Lord. Oh boy. And then after he fell to the ground and was shaking, he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, those who were with him were speechless because they too had heard the voice and nobody saw anyone. So Saul cried out, who are you? Well, the answer he was given would change his life for all time and eternity. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Well, as we read on, we come to realize that this was the occasion of a divine call. Certainly dramatic in the extreme, but nevertheless, God calling the Pharisee Saul to be his messenger. A man committed to destroying Christianity was about to become the greatest Christian missionary and preacher of all time. We know him as the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' own words, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. And here also we see that marvelous miracle of conversion. Moses, Joshua, and all the prophets, both major and minor, were singled out and called by God to speak his holy word. In every age, God has chosen and anointed sinful men to speak his word and minister to the spiritual and even the physical needs of those whom he has created and loves. Until Jesus comes back, he will continue to handpick certain men and equip them for a specific mission. It was Paul who later wrote, Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. There is no greater or higher calling on this earth than that of being a messenger of God. And there is no greater burden of care or responsibility given to a human being. We see this in the words of Jesus, or God's call, Jesus as well, to Ezekiel, who was called to be a prophet to the Jews who were in exile or in captivity in Babylonia. And here's what he said to Ezekiel. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. In other words, if the prophet did not preach exactly what God told him to, his own soul would be in jeopardy. Every man sent by God is accountable for souls, a fact repeated by Paul in his teaching, his writing to young pastor Timothy, where he said, take heed to yourself and to your teaching, hold to that, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. It should be apparent by now that the hearer is accountable as well. In Hebrews 13, we find these words to Christians, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as men who will have to give account. Verse 17 there. The pastor you will be calling is one God has chosen to save you. He will be accountable for preaching and teaching the truth at the risk of his own soul. But you, baptized into Christ Jesus, are also called to be faithful in hearing God's word, living by it, and obeying your pastor in spiritual matters. The pastor's authority is not from men, but from God. We believe that the Spirit of the living Christ is the one who directs the call process, who empowers you to extend the call. But once the call is accepted, the pastor then has the authority and the duty to proclaim the law and gospel of God in all of his truth and purity, and to administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. No human being or assembly has the authority to limit or to modify the preaching of the truth. Insofar as a pastor is faithful to his calling, the duty of the people of God is to obey him, honor him, care for him, and thank the Lord God for him. We live in a culture that is rebelling against the law of God. Even in Christ's church, many don't want to hear that they are sinners, and unless they turn from their sin, they can't even be saved. One can easily hear a sermon today, and I've heard a number of them, in which sin and repentance and hell are not even mentioned. Sometimes there's more storytelling and humor in preaching than Bible doctrine. Go visit another church, you'll see right off the bat. So when you extend a call today, you want to be careful to bring in a shepherd who is strong in preaching both law and gospel. Remember Paul's words to the church in Corinth. I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the kind of man you need. Now this leads directly into our text. It is through a living faith in Jesus and sincere repentance that we are saved. I think we all know that. I hope we do. By faith, His righteousness becomes ours. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now first we must learn what sin is and its consequences. We must hear of God's wrath toward those who refuse to repent. But most importantly, we need to hear of the compassion and the love of our Heavenly Father. How He has chosen us, how He has justified us, how He has forgiven the sins of every penitent heart, and has saved us from hell. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His great mercy, His marvelous grace, through the washing of regeneration, which is baptism, and renewal in the Holy Spirit. And how do we hear? Without a preacher, without a messenger of God, how would we have heard the good news? Verses 14 and 15. How are men to call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? Without a pastor, who would join souls with Christ through baptism and feed you at the Lord's table? Who could you count on to console you and pray for you and with you at the loss of a loved one? How many marriages got off to a bad start when there was no pastor to lead the couple to the altar to make their vows in the presence of the Lord God? And what about a godly example for the youth? The pastor should be that example. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. But He is not the only one praying for you, for your daily well-being, for your salvation. Your pastor will also be approaching the throne of grace in your behalf, sometimes laying awake at night, meditating on ways to help or nourish or encourage you, or in some cases even save you. And then there are those precious hours in study, delving deep into the Bible to find the truth there and share that truth in Bible studies and in worship and in personal counseling. Now hopefully each one of us here this morning has the salvation promised here in Paul's words. And it's likely, for most of us at least, that it was a pastor faithfully proclaiming law and gospel who led us to the foot of Christ's cross, where we could see firsthand the terrible consequences of our sins, and then lead us to the open tomb to experience the joy of victory over sin, death, and the devil. No wonder Paul recalls and quotes Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring good news, who proclaim salvation. The feet of the messengers of God are lovely because they carry the man who brings tidings of joy, who speaks words of peace and reconciliation with God the Father through Jesus the Son. The man who responds to your call has been appointed. I said has. God already knows. God's already got it figured out. It's a done deal. But you have a part in this yet, and that's your vote this afternoon. But that man has been appointed by the God of heaven to carry on Christ's mission right here in Eugene. Faith comes by what is heard, we see in verse 17, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. This is what you should be seeking, a man who will preach words of God that will either bring you to faith or strengthen your faith, a man who will teach you the way of love, love for God and for your neighbors. The Holy Spirit will both enable him to proclaim the truth and empower you to believe and obey it. And when you do, then you can call on the holy name of Jesus and know that you are his forever. Imagine, if you possibly can, I've thought about this in time past, even before writing this sermon. What kind of a world would we have without prophets or evangelists or pastors? Tens of thousands of them across the world. Without the hope and the peace that they bring through God's word, this life would be a hell on earth. In some ways it is anyway. God loves you. God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He does this through men he calls and equips. The pastor you will be calling will be working under our Lord's guidance, and he will be the human caretaker of your soul. He will be God's gift to you, and as such, special, worthy of your love, your respect, your care, and your obedience. He will be set apart, not any better than you. Don't get the part wrong. He's still a sinner. But he has been given by God divine authority to carry on the word and sacrament ministry begun by Jesus himself. We live in a time when false teachers and heterodox churches abound. They're all over the place. All the more reason to thank and bless God for sending you a man who is true to the word. These kind of men are becoming few and far between in today's world. Blessed and rewarding as the office of the public ministry is, it is also very stressful and sometimes very discouraging. People don't always listen. Members fall prey to the roaring lion, the devil. And sometimes the sheer weight of the burdens of others become almost too much to bear. Society is becoming increasingly anti-church and tries to coax away the faithful, especially the youth. We live in the latter days, and more than ever, we need to say no to anything or anyone who tempts us to give less than full support to our pastor and to our congregation. I urge you, when your call for a new pastor bears fruit, to love him as God's man, to listen to and obey him. If everybody had obeyed me, in my first parish, we'd have had 500 members in no time. But it didn't happen. We only gained a couple hundred. If you do what your pastor says, your congregation will grow. If you're in the Word, your congregation will grow. Keep saying, come to Bible study. And you'll see why. You need to be willing to work and to sacrifice and do whatever is necessary to advance the mission of Jesus Christ in this place. I believe it can grow. That's where my faith is. And extremely importantly, pray. Pray. Pray now. Pray for the man who accepts the call and continue to pray regularly, beseeching the Lord's presence and help as you strive to move forward to God's eternal glory. I still remember the words of an elderly woman in my first parish, now spoken well over 30 years ago. Her name was Annie. Annie died at the age of 104. But Annie told me right at the outset of my ministry, Pastor, I pray for you daily. I can't tell you how much that meant to me. That same dear lady placed a single fresh rose on my desk in the study every Friday for 6 years. And as time went on, the same thing happened at the other church at Grace. A fresh rose on my desk every Friday. You know how much that means to a pastor? It is every pastor's dream that every member really get into the Word of God and give his or her heart to Christ. Love Jesus and trust in him and follow his footsteps to the cross. And after that, to the golden streets of the New Jerusalem. Then and there, all true believers will see our blessed Redeemer face to face, together with the sainted Paul, whose journey on that road to Damascus turned out to be the start of his journey to glory. Let us pray in the words of two stanzas of hymn 489 in the Lutheran hymnal. Lord of the church, we humbly pray for those who guide us in thy way and speak thy holy word. With love divine their hearts inspire, and truth their lips with hallowed fire and needful strength afford. Help them to preach the truth of God, redemption through the Savior's blood. Nor let the Spirit cease on all the church his gift to shower, to them a messenger of power, to us of life and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding.